Good morning, everyone. It's good to see everyone out. Going to try to stand to get a little more volume, but I may last only half as long. But I don't like to preach softly, and hopefully I'll get this voice and oxygen thing resolved pretty soon. What if instead of Christ coming to die on the cross, God came to you and he said, I want you to live a sinless life so that you can be a sacrifice for all of mankind. How do you think you would do with that? Well, we all know that all of us have sinned. But this morning, I want us to take a look at what Christ did for us and hopefully have a greater appreciation of Christ living a sinless life and the debt that we owe him. So please open your Bibles to Matthew chapter 4. Matthew chapter 4, and I'll begin reading at verse 1. Then Jesus was led up by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. And when he had fasted 40 days and 40 nights, afterward he was hungry. Now when the tempter came to him, he said, If you are the Son of God, command that these stones become bread. But he answered and said, It is written, Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. Then the devil took him up into a holy city, set him on the pinnacle of the temple, and said to him, If you are the Son of God, throw yourself down, for it is written, He shall give his angels charge over you. And in their hands they shall bear you up, lest you dash your foot against a stone. Jesus said to him, It is written again, You shall not tempt the Lord your God. Again the devil took him up to an exceedingly high mountain and showed him all the kingdoms of the world and their glory. And he said to him, All these things I will give you if you will fall down and worship me. Then Jesus said to him, Away with you, Satan, for it is written, You shall worship the Lord your God, and him only you shall serve. Then the devil left him, and behold, the angels came and ministered to him. Here we have the temptation of Jesus. This is following his baptism by John the Baptist. And when we notice in verse 1 here, notice that Jesus was led up by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. Friend, God tests the righteous and the wicked. Psalm 11:5 says, The Lord tests the righteous, but the wicked and the one who loves violence, his soul hates. His test, when God tests us, he tests us to make us stronger as we turn to help for God. Satan is also going to test us, but with his temptations, he is trying to cause us to sin and turn away from God. So when we go through looking at this, I want us to see some assurances that we have from Christ because of him leading a sinless life and not giving in to temptation. When we look at this, we have an assurance of his determination to save us. Again, if God chose us, how determined would we be to not give in to temptation? We have an assurance of power for the greater victory in the resurrection. And we have an assurance to the Christian that just as Christ overcame those temptations, we can overcome them also. So he was led up by the Spirit. That indicates that it was God's intention that Jesus undergo these temptations. He's led to a place where he knows he's going to be tempted. God is not going to do the tempting, but he allows Jesus to be tempted. In verse 2, notice that he was hungry. He's fasted 40 days and 40 nights, and he was hungry. Would be real hunger. This is part of the evil nature of Satan and how he operates. Satan waits until this moment, to tempt Jesus. This would have been one of Jesus' weakest points. he hadn't eaten for 40 days and 40 nights, and Jesus comes to tempt him. Friends, when is Jesus going to come and tempt you? When is he going to come and tempt me? It's when we are at our weakest, and we need to be aware of that. We must be aware of that. We must understand that. We must prepare for that. We must put on all the armor of God. We must pray without ceasing. And friends, remember, God hears the cry of a faithful person praying to him. When a child of God is crying out to God, God is not going to turn his ear the other way. He's going to listen and he's going to help us. Friends, we must draw close to God. In verse 3, Satan, when the tempter came to him, he said, if. This word can also be translated since. He is tempting him. Satan is tempting him with pride here. If you're who you say you are, if you are the Son of God, command these stones become bread. It's the same thing with sin. Since you are the Son of God, basically he's saying, prove it. Prove it. Satan says, you have power to turn these stones into bread. Do something about your hunger. Again, Satan is tempting Jesus where he is weakest, at his hunger. And you stop and think about that. That's no different than with us today. What do we worry about? We worry about food, clothing, and shelter. We worry when we go to the grocery store, is there going to be food on the shelf? We worry about food. And we haven't even fasted 40 days and 40 nights. We hunger for the food. We're always worrying about food. We're hungering for the things of this world. And that's a big temptation. So hunger played a part in the temptation of Jesus, and it plays a part in our temptation also. In 1 John 2:15 through 17, we're told, not to love the things of the world, the lust of the eyes, the lust of the flesh, the pride of life, because we are going to hunger after those things, and we have to learn not to. And we need to remember that our material blessings are not an indication of God's love. We want to have the things of the world, and there's nothing wrong with having the things of the world, but remember, that is not an indication of God's love. How do we know that? You go to Luke chapter 16, and we have the story of the rich man and the beggar. The beggar that went to eat crumbs from the rich man's table, and he'd lay at the gate, and the dog would lick his sores. But when that beggar died, where did he go? He was carried by the angels into paradise. So friends, material blessings do not indicate God's love toward us. And also notice, Jesus was not going to use a miracle to satisfy his physical need. In verse 4, he answered and said, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceed out of the mouth of God. How does Jesus deal with temptation? By using the word of God. And notice the power of the word. There is enough power to keep man from sinning. And it's interesting too, you stop and think about this. So we have in chapter 3, John the Baptist preparing the way of Christ, the great prophet John the Baptist. Jesus comes to John. Jesus is baptized by John. Satan takes Jesus away into the wilderness to tempt him. Jesus is beginning his public ministry. And what are the first recorded words as Jesus begins preaching? It is written. Friends, you see Jesus from the beginning establishing the authority of the Word of God. I wish people would do that today. I hear so many people, they bring up a subject. Well, what do you think about this? How do you feel about that? What does so-and-so say? Friends, we need to go back to it is written. And it is, I think, not coincidental. It's important, and we should note this. His words spoken are a declaration of the authority of the Scriptures. When we want to understand something, when we want to prove something, when we want to teach something, what I think about it doesn't matter at all. We've got to go to the Scriptures. So Satan tempts Jesus to work a miracle. Has Satan seen Jesus work a miracle? We don't have any record of it. The only record that we have of Jesus first working a miracle is when he turned water into wine at the wedding feast. That hasn't taken place yet because he's still in the wilderness being tempted. So Satan knew that Jesus was God, and Satan knew the power that Jesus had. But Jesus did not use a miracle. Jesus could have turned the stones into bread, but were miracles for personal benefit? No, they weren't. That may have been a secondary benefit, but what was the purpose of miracles? Well, the Hebrew writer says in Hebrews chapter 2 and verse 3, "How shall we escape if we neglect so great a salvation, which at the first began to be spoken by the Lord and was confirmed to us by those who heard him? God also bearing witness, both with signs and wonders, with various miracles and gifts of the Holy Spirit according to his own will." Friends, the purpose of miracles was to bear witness, to confirm the word. The word miracle, something supernatural, that supernatural event created wonder in the sign to those people that beheld it, and it signified that it was from God. So God also bearing witness with both signs and wonders. That was through the miracle. In verse 5, "Then the devil took him up to the holy city, set him on the pinnacle of the temple." Some scholars think that this was near the Kidron Valley. Some think it was opposite side of the temple, which is called the pinnacle. Why would Satan take Jesus up to such a high place? One reason may have been so that it would have been such a long fall that there could not have been any doubt that a miracle had not taken place. In verse 6, "And said to him, if you are the Son of God, throw yourself down, for it is written, he shall give his angels charge over you, and in their hands they shall bear you up, lest you dash your foot against a stone." Verse 7, again, "It is written, you shall not tempt the Lord your God." Satan knew that it would be a sin for Jesus to tempt God in this way. This is a quote from Deuteronomy 6:16. The people needed water and accused Moses of having brought them out of the land of Egypt, out into the wilderness to die. And what did they do? They demanded that Moses give them water. They tested God to see if he was in his presence. How did that go with the Israelites and Moses? Didn't go well. And Jesus was not going to make the mistake that Moses did. And Jesus was not going to demand of God that he perform a miracle. It's significant, again, that Jesus in his time of temptation did not use a miracle to give him strength. When he was tempted, he did not yield. What did Jesus rely on? What did Jesus get his strength to get through these temptations? And we know Jesus, when he went through these temptations, he did it as a man. He did it as a man. This was a real temptation. What's the weapon that he used? What was his defense? What was his strength to get him through these temptations? It was the Word of God. It was written, Ephesians 6:17 says, "Take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. The Word of God is the sword of the Spirit that we use to deal with temptation. Again in verse 8. Again, the devil took him up on an exceedingly high mountain and showed him all the kingdoms of the world and their glory. Now, this is an important word here. And notice on the highlighting on these things, Satan, where it's blue there, again, Satan is trying over and over to get him. And we'll see Satan doesn't give up as he's trying to tempt Christ. He's not going to give up trying to tempt us. He shows him the kingdoms of the world and their glory. And remember, what was the reason that Jesus came to the earth? To be a king. They were looking for a savior. You know, remember the Old Testament where Joshua, savior. The New Testament parallel, Jesus, savior. Savior, he's going to be a king. He's going to be the Messiah. The kingdom is the concept that we read about in Matthew's account as he's writing to the Jews. The king is coming to set up a kingdom, his church. And what's the devil, what is Satan offering to do? He's going to give him a shortcut. He's going to give him a shortcut. So we need to consider this verse very carefully. This kingdom would be a temptation because of the pride and vainglory of such power. Jesus could have reasoned, I'm going to be king anyway. Why not go ahead and do it now? And you think back to the Old Testament, we have example after example where people were told that God was going to do something. And what did they do? They thought they needed to help out God. We'll do this. We won't wait for this, but we'll help out God. People today try to help out God. They try to help out God by changing his plan and pattern of the worship of the church, the work of the church, the mission of the church. Friends, we've got to do God's plan on God's time and God's way. In verse 9, and he said to him, all these things I will give to you if you will fall down and worship me. Now stop and think about this. Remember, we're just in chapter 4. You go back earlier in chapter 2, and the wise men come and worship Jesus. You see the irony of this. The wise men come and worship Jesus. Now we're in chapter 4, and Satan says, you do all of this, if you fall down and worship me, I'll give you all of this. Do you see how silly this is? To Satan, this is a real big offer. You see all these kingdoms? You fall down and worship me, and I'll give you this. And that would be a temptation. But you look at it from Jesus' perspective, and who is Jesus? Jesus created all of these kingdoms. Jesus created this world. God said, let us make man in our own image. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Friends, we've got to look at temptations from a spiritual perspective. Not from a physical perspective, because from a physical perspective, if Satan said, you fall down and worship me and I'll give you everything, that's going to be a big temptation. But then what happens when Christ comes back? Everything's going to be burned up. Everything that we've given up to Satan is for naught, and then we're going to lose our soul. We're going to spend time without end with Satan. So Satan's offers may appear great to people of the world, but they are small to us who are going to have the glories of heaven, the glories of the life to come. Friend, this is the way we need to look at temptation, not from a physical point of view, but from the spiritual. We will receive some pleasure now, but we need to put that off and not give in to that temptation so we can receive pleasure without limits if we remain faithful to God. When we're tempted with sin, we've got to develop these spiritual eyes to stop and look at something. Is this worth it? And again, when you think about Satan offering all the kingdoms of the world to Christ, if it wasn't sad, it would be laughable because Jesus created everything. Paul says it like this in Romans 8, the mind of the Spirit is set on things of the Spirit, and the mind of the flesh is set on things of the flesh. So we need to have a spiritual mind. Verse 10, Jesus said, "Away with you, Satan, for it is written, you shall worship the Lord your God, and him only you shall serve." Jesus calls the devil Satan. This word means enemy or adversary. And Jesus sees him for exactly what he is. Satan does not have the best interest of Jesus in mind, and he does not have our best interest in mind as he continually tries to tempt us. Satan, if he understood God's plan, Satan knew that one sin on Jesus' part would destroy God's plan. Why is that? Because God demanded, God required a perfect, sinless sacrifice. You stop and think about that. We say, oh, if I sin once, what's the big deal? It's just one sin. What if Jesus sinned just once? Would it be a big deal? It would be a big deal because he then couldn't have been our sacrifice. Do you see what we owe to Christ? Because of what he went through for us, Satan came to Jesus with three of the most probable areas where Jesus might fall. And 1 Peter 5 tells us that Satan prowls about looking for someone to devour. The only way that Satan knows our weaknesses is by observation. Sometimes we give Satan more power than he deserves. Satan is not omniscient. Satan is not all-knowing. That's a characteristic of divinity. Satan is not a divine being. He does not know everything. He does not know what's in our minds. But Satan has a really good memory. He has a really good memory. If he sees me going over here and getting involved in this and giving in to sin, what's he going to do? He's going to put me in a situation where I can be exposed to a lot more of that because he wants to get me to sin. Satan knows that we are not robots, but that we have a choice to choose between good and evil. And when we choose evil, he's going to remember that, and he's going to keep coming at us with that same evil to get us to sin. But at the same time, we do not want to underestimate his power either, because again, Peter tells us that he is a roaring lion. We have, as we've talked about before, we have a battle of this battle that's gone on between good and evil, between Satan and the devil, all the way back from Genesis chapter 3 and the prophecy of Christ coming. And we have that victory played out on the cross, where Christ rose from the dead. He was victorious over Satan, over death. He took away the sting of sin, death. He ascended back into heaven to be with the Father. He has all authority, all power. And Satan has been chained. Satan has been chained. And again, a couple generations ago, someone came up with the illustration. When we think about Satan being chained, you think of like this vicious dog that's on a chain. He can eat you alive and leave nothing to you, but he's on a chain. That dog has no power over me until I walk inside where he's been chained. And then he can devour me. So the only power that Satan has over us is the power that we give to him. But what do? We make sin such a trivial thing. Oh, it's not a big thing. Everybody does that. And Satan is just destroying us. He's destroying us. James gives us some information to help in James chapter 4 and verse 7. Therefore, submit to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Draw near to God, and he will draw near to you. Cleanse your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded. In James 1:12, blessed is the man who endures temptation. For when he has been approved, he will receive the crown of life, which the Lord has promised to those who love him. Let no one say when he is tempted, I am tempted by God. For God cannot be tempted by evil, nor does he himself tempt anyone. But each one is tempted when he is drawn away by his own desires and enticed. Then when desire has conceived, it gives birth to sin. And sin, when it is full grown, brings forth death. Do not be deceived, my beloved brethren. Again, why are we happy? Blessed is the man who endures temptation. Blessed, happy, because God looks on us with favor. Friend, we yield to sin because of our own lusts, not because Satan made us do it. And if you want to go to heaven, you got to be honest with yourself about what your weaknesses are and learn how to overcome them. God is not going to judge us on a curve. There is no gospel of second chances. Did Satan know that he would destroy God's plan if Jesus sinned? Maybe he did, maybe he didn't. He may have from the Old Testament scriptures, knowing that Jesus had to be a perfect sinless sacrifice. He may have just wanted to entice him to sin. We don't know. But we also need to appreciate that this was a true, legitimate temptation to Jesus. The Hebrew writer emphasizes that Jesus endured the full force and power of Satan's temptation. Hebrews 2:10. And this was done so that he could come to the aid of us who are tempted in Hebrews 4:16 through 18. Just think, if we are tempted to sin and Jesus came to help us and he hadn't gone through that, how would that help us? But see, he went through the exact same kind of being tempted by the devil and he overcame it, and that is how he is able to help us. Jesus really wanted some bread. He hungered, the text said. Yet no matter how much Jesus wanted bread, he was not going to yield to temptation to get it. And the point is this: Jesus knew the power of temptation. And when Satan suggested that Jesus do this, Jesus probably wanted to do that, but he stopped there. He didn't do it. He did not pursue it in sin. It had to be a temptation, something he really wanted, or else the passage in Hebrews would mean nothing. It would not be valid. Paul tells us in 1 Corinthians 10:13, no temptation has overtaken you, but such as common to man. Friends, we all go through things, and we can draw upon the same power and resist temptation too. There's a goal that God sets before us. He wants us to be perfect. He wants us to be mature in James 1, 2 through 4. And when we think about temptation and the way it works, when we yield to temptation, the next time we give in to temptation, we become a little bit weaker and a little bit weaker and a little bit weaker. It's a progressive, sin is a progressive thing. And then we become like those in 1 Timothy 4:1. Who ended up with seared consciences. And we've seen that in people's lives. They go through something and they get deeper and deeper into something, and at a certain point their conscience is seared and they cannot be reached. But we can grow stronger, and Satan is not going to attack us in areas where we are strong. where we are weak. So if we want to go to heaven, we've got to be honest with ourselves about our weaknesses. God wants us to be perfect. He wants us to be complete. He wants us to be mature. That's our goal. Jesus says to resist Satan and he will flee from us. But he will not leave if we do not resist. If we resist, he's going to leave. We keep on keeping on in the sin over and over and over. Satan is not going to leave. Why would he leave? Because he's trying to drag us deeper and deeper into sin. So it's important, friends. The prince of this world knows that whatever message that we hold in our heart is what we are going to carry out in our life. And if it is something contrary to God's word, and that's what we're thinking about, he is going to keep giving us opportunities to do that. If we don't resist him, he's just going to keep giving us more and more. So do you see the problem that we have? We have two beings that want to sit on this throne. God wants our heart as his throne, and Satan wants our heart as his throne. And again, we've got to focus, we've got to train our mind on those things that are heavenly, not on things of this earth. God wants us to draw a line straight from our heart to his heart. Why do we sin? Sin is it's selfishness. It's idolatry. It's covetousness. God says, worship me. I say, I want to worship myself. And we give in to that. It's common to everybody. But God doesn't want it to be that way. And we have the example of Christ. Notice in verse 11, then the devil left him, and behold, angels came and ministered to him. Luke 4:13 adds that Satan left until an opportune time. Friends, Jesus was not just tempted three times and that was it. Satan would have kept coming back again and again. And friends, Satan, we see it in our own lives, he is going to keep coming back over again and again and again. But when we see what Christ did, how he did not give in to temptation, how he gave us an assurance of his determination to save us. He was determined not to sin so that he could save us. He could be that sacrifice. And by that sacrifice and by that resurrection, we have a hope of a resurrection. And because of his determination and because of his resurrection, we have the assurance that we can overcome sin. And when Jesus did all of that, when he redeemed us, he bought us and he owns us. So he is our master. We obey him. Why would we think about going back to that master that wants to destroy us? And again, remember, when we obey Jesus, always remember, obey right away, obey all the way, and obey in a happy way. We can't just go through the motions. We can't put it off. And we've got to do it from the heart, because God wants our hearts. Jesus is our owner. He paid a great price to redeem us. If you're tempted to sin this week, just think about Matthew 4, 1 through 11, and what Christ went through for us. Friends, this was a great battle. Every battle has a winner and a loser. And in this battle, we know who has already won and who has already lost. We know what our destiny is going to be, depending on whose side we choose to be on. Friends, if you've not obeyed the gospel, you need to obey it this morning. If you're struggling with sin and you need prayers, you repent of your sins and Christ is ready to forgive you. The congregation is ready to pray for you so that you can overcome them. If we can assist anybody this morning in being obedient, we invite you to come forward now as we stand and sing.